Okay, good morning. Today's shiur is Avodah Zarah Daf Nun Hey. We left off on Nun Dalet Amud Beis on the first wide line towards the bottom of the Amud. Today is going to continue in the sort of philosophical discussion about Avodah Zarah that we began yesterday. And then in the Mishnah, or at the Mishnah, toward the bottom of Nun Hey and Nun Aleph, we are going to transition to a discussion of Yayin Nesach. So we're going to talk all about the procedure for making wine, when, at which point in the winemaking process the wine is considered to be Yayin Nesach, what the halacha is, if you're allowed to drink the wine before that point in time in the process, are you allowed to help the Nachri make wine in Eretz Yisrael? We'll see there's a machlokas as to whether you're allowed to engage in an activity that causes tumah in Eretz Yisrael. Are we fearful that you shouldn't do so, lest you come to be metame things, and there are people in Eretz Yisrael who are ochlin chulin betahara, and that's going to cause them to become tame. So the first half of the daf is just sort of easy listening, and then the second half gets a little bit complicated with the discussion of how exactly they would make the wine. So today's shiur again is sponsored by the Newman family, Lizchus Rafua Shlema for Sar Freda Bas Chaya, and Le'ili Nishmas Chaim Naftali Ben Yaakov Shlomo, and Dvorishi Rechaya Bas Yaakov Leib, and we thank them very much for the sponsorship. So again, picking up from the, we left off at the end of the first wide line, so we'll pick off from the beginning of the second wide line, Nun Dalet Amud Beis. So Shol Philosophus Echad Es Rabbi Gamliel. So a philosopher asked Rabbi Gamliel, K'siv B'saraschem Ki Hashem Elokecha Ish Ochlohu Kel Kana. So it refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a jealous kavayachal, as a jealous God. So what does that mean? So b'mnei ma meskana bo avdeh, v'ein meskana ba. So why is God jealous of, or why does God exact vengeance against the ovdei avodah zarah, but he doesn't exact vengeance against the avodah zarah itself? So Amar lo, so he said, em shalucha mashal ma davar doma. I'm going to explain to you. The mashal is like this. Melech basar v'dam. It's like a melech basar v'dam, a king of flesh and blood. Shayelo ben echad. He had a certain son. V'yoso ben hoy megadalo es hakelev. And that son raised a dog. V'helelo shem al shem aviv. And he did a very chutzpahdik thing. He named the dog after his father. Ichshu nishba. And when he would swear, when he would take a shvua, omer b'chaye kelev abba. So he would literally swear in the name of the dog and then use his father's name because he named the dog after his father, which is incredibly disrespectful. So says the Gemara, k'sheshama ha-melech al mihu koes, al abenu koes or al kelev hu koes. If the king hears this, who is he going to be upset at? Is he going to be upset at the son, or is he going to be upset at the dog? So Havei Omer Alabenu Koes. So when he hears this, the king's not going to get upset at the dog. The dog didn't do anything. He didn't name himself. He's going to get upset at the son who did the act of chutzpah, who named the dog after his own father. So Amar Lo, so obviously the analogy is, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't worship Avodah Zarah, and people worship Avodah Zarah, who's HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to get angry at? Is he going to get angry at the people who worship Avodah Zarah? Or is he going to get angry at the Avodah Zarah itself? So of course he's going to get angry at the people who worship the Avodah Zarah, not at the Avodah Zarah itself. So Amar Lo, so the philosopher said to Rabbi Gamaliel, Kelev Atakoriosa, you're calling Avodah Zarah a dog, you're likening it in this mushel to a dog. Valo Yeshba Mamish, we see that there is some mamushas to the Avodah Zarah, that there is some substance to it. So Amar Lo, Umara Iso, what exactly did you see, says Rabbi Gamaliel to the philosopher, that indicates to you that there is mamish, that there is a mamushus to the Avodah Zarah. So Umari, so Samarlo, Pam Achas Nafla Dleika Biirenu. One time there was a fire in our city, Vinisrafa Seir Kula, and it burned down the entire city. Vosa base Avodas Kochavim Lo Nisraf, and it didn't burn down the base Avodas Kochavim. So Amarlo, so we see that the reason, what the philosopher is indicating, is that the reason that it didn't burn down the base Avodah Zarah is because the Avodah Zarah was protecting it. So obviously there was some sort of mamasha. So how can you compare it to a dog in your mashal? So Amalo, Emshalocha mashal lama de verdome. So let me try again. The Melech Basar Vedam Sosocha Lav Medina. When you have a Melech Basar Vedam who's upset with a certain Medina in his kingdom, who's that's rebelling. So what does he do? K'sho Osa Melchama Im Shkosha Melchama. When he makes a Melchama with the people in this Medina, Im Achayim Hu Osa or Mesim Hu Osa. Does he make the Melacha with the people who are living, or does he make the malacha with the people who are dead? In other words, was he going to wage war against people who are dead already? So he's obviously going to wage war only against the live people, and therefore, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu causes the fire to spread across the city, and when HaKadosh Baruch Hu causes the fire to spread across the city and it's going to destroy everything, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to bother having the fire destroy the base of Avodah Zarah, because that's likened to dead people. So Marlei, Kelev Atakoriosa, are you calling it a Kelev? Matakoriosa, Mace Atakoriosa, you're calling it a mace. In other words, you're likening the Avodah Zarah to all of these things. Imkain Yavdenim and Olam. If it's true that the Avodah Zarah is worthless, that it's likened to a Kelev, that it's likened to a dead person, why doesn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu erase the Avodah from the world? So the Mefarshim are bothered. So the Marsha asks, what does it mean? What kind of question is this that the philosopher is asking? How come HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't remove the Avodah Zarah from the world? The guy, Rabbi Gamliel, already answered the guy. The reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't bother waging war against the Avodah Zarah is because the Avodah Zarah is considered to be a Kelev or a Mace. In other words, it's not worth HaKadosh Baruch Hu's time to exact vengeance against the Avodah Zarah. So the Marshal explains, no, what the guy is asking is, okay, I understand that he doesn't want to go after the Avodah Zarah itself because the Avodah Zarah is not worthwhile. But why doesn't he remove the Avodah Zarah from the world so that the people can't worship Avodah Zarah? Why doesn't he remove the stumbling block from people? So says the Gemara. So the Gemara answers, now we understand, according to the Marsha, Samar Lo, why can't HaKadosh Baruch Hu get rid of these things, even though they serve as a stumbling block? If the people worship things that the world doesn't need in order to exist, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu could remove the Avodah Zarah from this world. However, we see that they worship the sun, the moon, the stars, the constellations. They worship wellsprings. They worship valleys. Yoved Olam B'nei Shotim. Should HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroy his world because of these crazy people who worship the Avodah Zarah? HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't remove the Avodah Zarah from this world. And similarly, it says, Asof Asaf Kol Me'al Pnei Adam Anum Hashem, Sher HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroy the entire world because of these people. Asof Adam Ubehema, shall HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroy mankind and all animals. Asof Ofa Feshamayim Adgei Ayam, Sher HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroy the birds of the sea, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea. Vamachsholos Asher Rasham Ebnei Sher Rasham Nichsholim Behem, because the Rasham are Nichshol in these things. Yovdem in Olam, that should HaKadosh Baruch Hu remove them from this world. Velo la'odam heim ovdim. They also worship people. And vechrati et adam al pnei adama. And should I destroy people from the face of the earth? Certainly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to do that. So if you take the argument to the extreme that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should remove from this world whatever the crazy Ovdei Kochavim worship, it would turn out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would destroy people too, because they worship people also, and that obviously would never happen. So the Rishonim ask over here, they're bothered. This whole soliloquy over here is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, theorizing, well, would I destroy the world because of people? And they point to the Mabul, where yes, there were people who were sinners, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the entire world. So I thought they look at this Gemara. I thought HaKadosh Baruch Hu said he doesn't destroy the entire world. So they answer that they give two answers. So one answer is that what this Gemara is saying is that because of the act of a select few, because of the Shotim, most of the people are normal and they don't worship the sun. But because there are some idiots who worship the sun, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to destroy the sun. That doesn't make sense. However, in the days of the Mabul, the entire world was filled with people who were Ovdei Avodah Zarah and who were Ovrei Aveira, and that's why it was such a toxic environment, that it wasn't on account of the select few that HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the world with the Mabul. It was because there was rampant disregard for morality and social norms. Other people say that no, I mean the whole point of the Mabul was that the point of the Mabul was HaKadosh Baruch Hu sending a message: never do this. In other words, it's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu never destroyed the world because of the acts of people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously did, and in doing so with the Mabul, he sent a message: don't ever do this again. But the point is, going forward, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to lay waste to the entire world because you have a couple of idiots who are being Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Okay, so now the Gemara says Vayter in other conversations. Shoshol Agrippas Sartzava. So Agrippas the general asked Rabbi Gamliel. Asked Rabbi Gamliel. Ksibet Arashem. It says in your Torah, Ki Hashem Alokecha Eish Ochlahu Kel Kana, that Hakadosh Baruch Hu is likened to an Eish Ochla. He is a jealous God. So Klum Miskana Ela Chacham B'Chacham Gibor V'Gibor V'Asher V'Asher. So why is Hakadosh Baruch Hu referred to as a jealous God when it comes to Avodah Zarah? Is a rich person ever jealous of a poor person? Is a smart person ever jealous of an unwise person? No, the only time a person is jealous is he's jealous of a peer. So isn't it evident that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is jealous of the Avodah Zarah, that it's got to be that there's something to the Avodah Zarah, otherwise HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't be jealous. So says the Gemara, Samar lo emshal v'chamashal amad v'dome. No, you're not understanding what jealousy means. Let me give you a mashal. La'adam shenasa isha al ishto. If a person is married to a woman and then marries an other woman on top of his first wife. So chashuva mimena ein meskaneba. If she is more chashuv than the first wife, then the first wife is not going to be jealous. But pchusa mimena meskaneba. However, if the first wife is not as chashuv as, if the second wife rather is not as chashuv as the first wife, then the first wife will be jealous. In other words, what the Gemara is explaining over here is that jealousy doesn't really mean jealousy. It's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is jealous of the Avodah Zarah. It's that in our mashal, if the guy is married to a chashuv, a woman, and then marries a woman who's not as chashuv, the first wife is not jealous, she's angry. She says, what does this second wife give you that I can't give you? So when it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Elkanah, when people worship Avodah Zarah, it's not that Hashem is, God forbid, jealous of the Avodah Zarah. It's that he's angry at the Bnei Yisrael. What does this Avodah Zarah give you that I don't give you? And that's why he's angry at the Bnei Yisrael for worshiping Avodah Zarah. So Amar Lei Zonin L'Rabbi Akiva. So Zonin said to Rabbi Akiva, there happens to be a machlokas between Rashi and the Maharsha as to whether Zonin was a Jew or a guy. So Rashi happens to say that Zonin was a Jew. The Maharsha learns that Zonin was a guy. So the nafkamina is, potentially, are you able to answer a Jew who is expressing beliefs of Apikorsis? So if Zonin was a Jew. I'll come in there because we're really not supposed to be in here. So if Zonin was a Jew, so we see that Rabbi Akiva answered him, but according to the Maharsha, if Zonin was a guy, it doesn't indicate one way or another whether you are able to answer a Jew who's expressing views of Apikorsis. So for those listening, we're just relocating. Okay, so again, we are on Nun Hey Amid Aleph. We're approximately 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. We're approximately 13 lines down. We are almost finished with the discussion. We're almost finished with the discussion of the sort of philosophical discussions about Avodah Zarah. And we will pick up with Amar Lei Zonin L'Rabbi Akiva. So Zonin said to Rabbi Akiva, Libi V'libcha Yada. So both you and I know that there is no mamoshas to Avodah Zarah. However, we see Maisim B'chol Yom, or at least on occasion, we see that people walk into a base of Avodah Zarah with fractured limbs. and they leave the base of Avodah Zarah when their limbs are aligned, they're all healed, and they're all healthy. So how could that be the case? If we know that the Avodah Zarah has no mamashas, how could it be that they're healed in the base of Avodah Zarah? So my taima, so what's the reason for this? So there's a person who was very trustworthy in the city. So everybody who lived in the city would be mafkid, would give him things to watch without edim. But there was one person who was always very, very careful. So he would only be mafkid items to this person with edim. So pamacha shachach vifkid etzlo shelo be'edim. One time this guy forgot and he actually gave the fellow a pikadon without edim. So Amr lo ishto, so his wife said, so the wife of the nifkad said, bo v'nech parenu, oh, this is great. Usually the guy gives you the pikadon with edim. Now he forgot to use edim, so he gave you the pikadon without edim. Nobody knows that this guy gave you a pikadon. Let's deny that he actually gave it to you, and we can make out with this pikadon. It's great. So Amr lo, so he said to her, v'chibim neisha shota zeh asa shalo kogein anu nevedes emunoseinu, because this guy did something wrong, because this guy did something dumb. He forgot to give us the pikadon in front of Edim. We should take advantage of him and therefore lose our entire trustworthy nature. That doesn't make sense. Afkach, so too. Yisurin b'shosh shemeshagrin osan ala adam. At the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends Yisurin to a person, so mashbiyin osan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes the Yisurin take a shvua, shalotelchu ela biyom ploni, veloteitzu ela biyom ploni, uvishah plonis, valyadei ploni, valyadei sam ploni. That when the Yisurin go, they have to go on a certain day, and when they leave, they have to leave on a certain day, and they have to leave through a certain doctor, and they also have to leave through a certain course of treatment. That their instructions are very, very specific. The Marshal says, "Yeah, this is only in the sort of in the natural order of what these Yisurin swear to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do." However, if a person does tshuva, tefillah, and tzedakah, if a person actually davens, then he has the ability to cause the Yisurin to leave his body before their appointed time. But even without the tshuva, without the tefillah, without the tzedakah, we see that the Yisurin are supposed to leave at a certain time. So if that's the case, kiven sheyegias manam lotzeis, if at the time when the Yisurin are supposed to leave the person's body, halach zeh lebeis avodas kochavim, so this guy happens to be in a base of Avodah Zarah. So Amru Yisurin, so the Yisurin say, Dinu Shalom Neitze. It really, really, we shouldn't leave, because if we leave now, the person's going to assume that we left because he dove into the Avodah Zarah. The Chozrim V'yomer, however, then they say, V'chimu Neitze, Shota Zeh, Osa Shalom Kahogon, Onu Nevaj V'aseinu. Because this guy did something improper and is davening in a base of Avodah Zarah, we should violate our shvua. No, they have to abide by their shvua. So that's why we see that even if a person is in the base of Avodah Zarah when it's the time for Yisurin to leave, the Yisurin have to abide by the shvua. V'hainu damar Rav Yochanan, my dechsev v'chalayim ra'im v'ne'manim. So ra'im b'shlichusan, it's very bad that they that the Yisurin are visiting upon somebody. However, they're believed in that they uphold their shvua. So the mashal is that that with these types of things, you need a broader perspective, right? You can't look at something and assume that the reality is what it appears to be at first blush. So if you look at this guy who's all broken walking into the base of Avodah Zarah, and when he leaves, he's all healed, you assume that it's because of the Avodah Zarah. But that's because you lack a broad perspective. If you back up a second, look at the broader perspective, you realize the reason that the guy was healed was because the Yisurin are faithful to the Shvua that they made to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that they would leave at an appointed time, and that's why they're leaving then. Just like the Nifkad in the Mashal, if he would have taken the short view, he would have tried to take advantage of the guy who was Mafkid the item without Aiden. And that's what his wife wanted him to do. However, the Nifkad said, no, we have to take the long view. We have to take the broad perspective. And the broad perspective is that we might be able to take advantage of this one guy, but in doing so, we undermine our whole credibility. And if we undermine our credibility, we're never going to be believed. Nobody's ever going to give us anything to watch again. And that's the point here with the Avodah Zarah. You have to take a broader perspective and not get caught up with the appearance that something is happening as a result of the Avodah Zarah. So Amar Leh Rava,
by Rav Yitzchak l'Rav Yehuda. However, what we know is that there's a base of Avodah Zarah in our city, the Chimitzrich Alma Lamitra, that when the world needs rain, so Mischazi Luhu Bechalma, the Avodah Zarah will appear to the city dwellers in a dream. The Yomar Luhu and the Avodah Zarah will say something outrageous. Shachtu li Gavra Vaisi Mitra, if you slaughter a person to me, I'm going to bring rain. And so it was. Shachtu la Gavra Vaisi Mitra. They shechted a person, they slaughtered a person to the Avodah Zarah, and then rain came. So Merlei, Hashta Iavi Shechivna, so I'm happy that you're saying this to me, because if I die today, Lo Amri Lechu Hamilsa Diyamarav, I would not have had the opportunity to tell over to you the statement that Rav made. And what is that? What's that statement? So Mai Dechsev Asher Cholak Hashem Elokecha Osam Lechola Amim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu appointed the Avodah Zarahs to all of the world. And what the Pasuk says is, Pentisa Inecha Shemaima, lest you look up at the heavens, where Isa Hashemesh Vesereach Veskochavim Kol Tzvah Shemayim V'nidachta V'shachavisalem, you're going to go astray, you're going to bow down to them. V'abadetem Asher Cholak Hashem Elokecho Sam L'chol Amim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu apportioned these things to Chala Amim. So what does it mean? Malameh Shechlikam Bidvarim Kedei Latardem in Olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it very easy for them to go astray so that they should be destroyed on account of their Averas. In other words, why is it that that the Avodah Zarah appears and he tells them to go Shecht a kid and then they Shecht a person and then rain comes? It's not that there's any mamashas. It's not that there's any validity to the Avodah Zarah. There's no power to the Avodah Zarah. It's that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, if a person shows me that he wants to go astray and he wants to follow Avodah Zarah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make that option available to him. V'ayinu dama Reish Lakesh. And that's what Reish Lakesh says. Mai dechsev im leleitzim hu yalitz ula anovim yitein chein. That for the cynics, there will be cynicism, and for the humble people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will show chen. So, bolatame poschen lo. If a person wants to be metame, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu permits him to be metame. Bolatar mesayin oso. However, if a person comes to be metara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu affirmatively helps the person. And that's why it says, im leleitzim hu yalitz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will permit the cynic person, the cynical person, to be a cynic. However, ula'anovim yitein chein, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is actually going to give him something to make sure that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mesayeh him in doing that which is good. And that's why the reason that they appear to the Avodah Zarah appears to them, and it appears that the Avodah Zarah is doing what they want the Avodah Zarah to do, it's not that there's any power to the Avodah Zarah, it's that HaKadosh Baruch Hu leaves the opportunity open and available for people to sin if he senses that they want to sin. Okay, so now the Mishnah is going to turn to the halachos of Yayin Nesach. So Lagabe Yayin Nesach, the one thing we have to know is that Yayin Nesach only becomes usher because of Yayin Nesach when the liquid that comes out of the grape reaches the status of wine. Before the liquid that comes out of the grape reaches the halachic status of wine, it doesn't have the ability to become usur for Yayin Esek. So the second the juice comes out of the grape, doesn't necessarily become usur because of Yayin Esek. It's only when it reaches the status of wine. So we have to know also a little bit about the way that they used to make wine in the times of the Gemara. So they would have a wine press where they would put the grapes and people would walk on top of the grapes, and that would cause the grapes to expel the juice. They would then all be piled in a mound after they were trampled on, and then they'd be pressed down with the beam, and when they were pressed down with the beam, more juice would come, and then there would be a little ramp that from the wine press, the juice from the grapes would go down and would be collected in a cistern, and they'd skim off from the top all of the shells, all of the husks of the grapes. And then they would transfer it from the cistern into a barrel, and they would skim it again. And then what was left in the barrel was wine. That was the finished product. But what's important for our Mishnah and in the ensuing Gemara is that first they would have something called a gat. They would have something called a wine press, which is where the initial stage of production took place. And after the wine was in the gat, it would go down into the bar, which is the cistern. So keeping that in mind, So says the Gemara, so lokhin gat b'uta mina oved kochavim, that you're allowed to buy the contents of a gat b'uta, of a wine press, or the grapes in the wine press that were already trodden upon, that were already stepped on, so the juice starts coming out. Afal pishu notel biyado, even though the guy takes the grapes with his hands after he steps on them with his feet, v'nosein l'tapuach, and even though the guy takes the wine with his hands and puts it in the mound in the wine press, you're still allowed to buy this wine or this stuff. I shouldn't call it wine. You're allowed to buy this stuff from the guy. Why are you allowed to buy this stuff from the guy? Because it's not considered wine. That's why. And therefore, when you buy the wine, when you buy the stuff, it's not considered to be yayin nesach. And we're not afraid that the guy is menasechit, even though he does pick it up with his hands, because it doesn't have the halachic status of yayin. So says the Gemara, ve'ein osa yayin nesach, and it is, says the Mishnah rather, it is not made yayin nesach ad sheyered lebar, until the wine seeps down from the wine press after it's trampled on and after it's piled into a mound and after the beam is put on it, after that liquid goes into the bar, into the cistern that's on the bottom of the wine press, that's when it becomes wine. Yared labar, however, if it goes down into the cistern, the mashe bebar usser, what's in the bar is usser. And Rashi points out, when is it usser? It's usser im nagabo ave kochavim achakein. It's only usser if the guy touches it, because if the guy touches it, we're afraid he made it. We were afraid he was menasech the yayin. And then Rashi explains over here what we had explained already is bar ho yosel lefnei agat. They would make a little cistern in front of the wine press, v'akli nasan sham l'kabal ha-yayin, and there was a kli that was there to be mekabal the yayin, v'yesh shatachan abor b'sid, there was some who would line the bar with lime, v'ha-yayin mishtamer b'tocha v'ein ma'abe tipa v'u bar sid. And there was a certain special type of cistern that they would line with lime so that it wouldn't seep at all. But what the Mishnah is telling us here is that skolzman, that the grapes and the liquid that comes from the grapes is on top of the wine press, that is not considered to be yayin, and therefore it can be made into yayin esach. Once the liquid seeps down into the cistern, then it does have the halachic status of yayin, and therefore if the guy touches it, you're not allowed to buy the wine because we're afraid that is yayin esach. But says the Mishnah, v'hashar mutter, but the rest of it is going to be mutter. What's the shar? The rest of it means the stuff that's up top. The stuff that's at the top of the cistern is going to be mutter. And Tosfos over here says, Dibre maskal vashar mutter perish af bishtia keperish akuntris. That when we say that the shar is mutter, it's only that which goes into the cistern that's usser. That which still remains up above in the wine press is mutter even to drink. However, then Tosfos quotes, Aval Rav Rav Shmaya Perish, but Rav Shmaya is Mefarish, Mutter Bahana. It doesn't mean Mutter Bishtiya, it means only Mutter Bahana. De'ein Nase Yayin Nesech Isser Bahana, Acheyeru Labar, Aval Bishtiya Mia Usser. However, by Shtiya, it is going to be Usser. V'chein Bereisha Lokin Gat Be'uta, Afal Pisha Notel, Vein Choshev Kisuri Ana. And also, Rav Shmaya explains this, the Reisha of the Mishnah, that when we say that you're allowed to buy the contents of the trodden wine press, it doesn't mean that you're allowed to buy it and that you're allowed to drink it, just that you're allowed to buy it and that you're allowed to have Ana from it. V'chein Rav Elchanan, however, Rav Elchanan, one of the other Balei Tosfos, asks, Chada D'Loshan Lokin Mashma D'Mutter. It says in the Mishnah, Lokin. So lochin doesn't mean, oh, you're not supposed to buy it to drink it, but if you buy it, it's mutter ba. No, lochin means you're allowed to buy it, l'chatchila, which is mashma, that you're actually allowed to drink it. V'od de b'gemara, kiparech, the ravuna, lishne le mutter, demasnisen, hainu ba'na, v'chikam ravuna, b'shtia kamar. And we're going to see later on in the Gemara, the ravuna is talking about drinking the wine. So Tosfos, for himself, says that when it says mutter, it means that it's mutter actually to drink. Okay. That's the first part of the Mishnah. The second part of the Mishnah, Dorchin ina ove ima ove kachavim begat, that you're allowed to be dorech, you're allowed to trample the grapes with the akum in the wine press. So why wouldn't you be allowed to do this? So we have to look in Rashi. So Dorchin ima ove kachavim begat, v'lo amrinan mishtaker b'suri ana, and we don't say that you're benefiting from isuri anahu. Dafilu b'shtia savar haitana deshari. This is what we just saw in Tosfos. Kol's man that the grapes and the liquid from the grapes are in the wine press, which is at the beginning of the process, it's mutter even b'shtia. Sofer Aitana Deshori, Kol's man shalei yored labor. Umishum goreim tuma. Now Rashi is going to introduce another concept, which we're going to see in the Gemara on Amud Beis. How about the issue of goreim tuma, of causing tuma? Now why are you goreim tuma? You're goreim tuma because the guy is tame. And when is a food hukshar l'kabal tumah? Food is hukshar l'kabal tumah after it's touched by one of the Zayin Mashkin. Now, one of the Zayin Mashkin is Yayin. So if you're going to trample the grapes and liquid is going to come out of the grapes, the liquid is going to cause the grapes to be mukshar l'kabal tumah. When the guy is trampling them, the guy is tumah, he's going to be metame the grapes. And that's goreim tumah. So are you allowed to be goreim tumah in Eretz Yisrael? U'mishem goreim tumah leka. Why? Rashi says this is not called goreim tumah because you're not causing the tumah. From the time that the guy tramples the grapes, even a tiny bit, they already become tumah. And there's no issue of misayeya de ovrei avera because the goyish people, goyim, are not commanded against being goreim tumah in Eretz Yisrael. It's only Jews who are prohibited from being goreim tumah in Eretz Yisrael. So you're allowed to be dorech with the Ovei Kochavim in the Gath because it's not considered to be Yayin Nesek, therefore it's not Mishtaker Bisuri Anah, and you're not causing tumah because the tumah is going to happen anyway, because the second the guy tramples the grapes, there's going to be liquid that emits from the grapes, and that's going to be tumah. Okay, says the Mishnah Vayter, Aval Lo Botzrenimo. However, you're not allowed to harvest with him. You're not allowed to harvest with him. Why? Because if you harvest with him, explains Rashi, if you harvest with him and then you bring the grapes to the wine press, then you know that he's going to trod on the grapes and you know that it's going to become tameh because the akum is tameh and now the grapes are going to be hukshar l'kabal tumah. And Rashi says, you are now causing him, you are causing the tumah to the grapes, because when you put them into the wine press, you know that they are going to be trampled on and they're going to become tamei. And this mandiyamar, the Mishnah holds that it's usur for a Jew to be goreim tumah in Eretz Yisrael, and it's even for chulin in Eretz Yisrael. So says the Mishnah Vayter, Yisrael shuosa b'tumah. However, if you have a Jew who is making wine in a state of tumah, lo dorchin v'lo botzrenimo. You're not allowed to be dorich with him. You're not allowed to trample the grapes with him, nor are you allowed to harvest with him. And Rashi explains that by Yisrael, so the second Rashi on the page, Yisrael osa perosa betuma over averahu. He's an over avera because it's osur ligrom tuma beretz Yisrael even for chulin. So this guy is an over avera. Sharei nistav al kach. Hilkach afilu dorchinami osur. Therefore, you're not even allowed to be dorich with him. Shadrichasen ba'avera begat tameya. Drichasanu ikur tumasan kishanasin mashke in tameim ayadea gat, the usr lesaye ayade ovre avera. However, you are, and you're not allowed to be mesaye ayade ovre avera, ela portion ma'am, you have to separate yourself from them, kadeshala yargil bakach. Avalove kachavim, but by a guy, how come I'm allowed to help the guy trample in the wine press? Lav over averu shalom nitzave. The guy wasn't commanded against being goreim tumah in Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, there's no isser to help the guy. There's only an isser to help the Jew. Aval malichinimo chavios lagat. However, you're allowed to help bring. You're allowed to help the Jew bring the barrels, the empty barrels to the gat. Umevianimo minagat, and you're allowed to help him transport the wine because transporting the wine is already considered to be a separate act. It's not considered to be the same act of winemaking, and therefore it's not considered to be a misayeyide ovrei avera. The Mishnah now illustrates this in a different context. Nachtom shuosa betuma. If you have a kneader, somebody who kneads dough, who does it betuma, lo lashen velo orchin. You're not allowed to shape the dough, nor are you allowed to knead the dough with the person, because the isa is going to be hukshar l'kabal tuma through the lisha, because when you knead the dough, you knead the dough with water, and the aricha and the shaping of the dough is considered to be an extension of that same act. Aval malichinimo pas lapalter, but you're allowed to bring the pas to the baker to actually bake, because it's already been formed, and therefore the baking is considered to be a separate maisa, and not the same Maisa Isser. So I explain like Rashi that Nachta means a kneader and Palter means a baker. Tosfos has a different explanation, a different understanding, which is that Nachtom is a baker and Palter is a retailer. And the Nafkamina is, according to Tosfos, if Nachtom is the baker, you're not even allowed to bake with the person who needs dough betumah. Whereas according to Rashi, he views baking as a separate act. Tosfos does not view baking as a separate act. Tosfos views baking as the same act, and the only thing that would be mutter is to help the guy bring the bread to a retailer. So says the Gemara now. So Amar Rav Huna, Yayin kivan shehischil hamshech osa yayin esech. Says Rav Huna that when the wine begins to flow down the slope in the wine press to the vat, it is made into yayin esech even before it reaches the bar, even before it reaches the cistern. So says the Gemara, Tnan, Lochin gat b'uta min ovei kochavim, v'afal pisha natal biyado, v'nosen letapuach. I thought we said in the Mishnah that you're allowed to trample on the grapes with a guy in the wine press, even though he uses his hands to pile them into a mound, because they don't become yayin nesech until they go into the cistern. So how could you tell me that they become yayin nesech once they start rolling down the slope into the cistern? So Ravuna begat pekuko malaya. We're talking about where you have a plugged and full gat. And because the gat is plugged and full, it never is able to even start the downward process of rolling down the incline into the cistern. That's why in our Mishnah you're allowed to do it, because no matter what interpretation or no matter what understanding of when it starts to become yayin esech you have, it hasn't started that process yet. Tashma ve'ina osa yayin esech atcheyered labar. Rav Huna, you have a problem, because in our Mishnah it says it's not yayin esech until it goes down into the cistern, and you say it's yayin esech once it starts going down. So chanami begat pekuko maleya. Because we're talking about a gat pekuko maleya where there is no ability for the liquid to seep down the incline. Tashma, yored labar, masha babar, asar vashar mutter. But in the Mishnah it says, viter, that if it goes into the cistern, what's in the cistern is asar, and the rest of it is mutter, even if it may have started down the incline. And we're obviously not talking about a wine press that's stopped up, because we're talking about a scenario where the wine is getting to the bar. Says the Gemara, am ravuna lo kasha, kama mishnah rishona, kama mishnah achrona. Now it's not a problem, because one view is according to the Mishnah Rishona, and one view is according to the Mishnah Achrona. So what does that mean? The Tanya. Parishona ya'omrim badad. At first they said halachos that use the acronym badad, which mean, ein botsrin in ove kochavim begat, that you're not allowed to help the guy harvest the grapes in the gat, she'osur ligrom tumah l'chulin b'Eretz Yisrael, because it's osur to be gorem tumah for chulin in Eretz Yisrael, and by helping the guy harvest, you are actively helping him, because you are creating the siba where he's then going to be dorech these grapes bituma. So that's halacha number one. You're not allowed to harvest with the guy because you're causing tuma. Ve'ein dorchin im Yisrael sha'osei perosa bituma. And you're not allowed to trample on the grapes with a Jew who is Tameh, who makes his peros betuma, she'asur l'seyei de ovri avera, because you're not allowed to help somebody do an avera, and asur ligrom tuma be'eretz Yisrael afilu b'chulin, aval dorchin el kachavim begat. However, if the guy is being dorech in the gat, then you're allowed to help him do that, v'lo chayshinan l'dravuna. And we're not afraid for the halacha of Rav Huna. The halacha of Rav Huna says that it's yayin esach once it starts going down the incline. We're not afraid for the halacha of Rav Huna, and therefore you're allowed to be dorek with the guy in the gat. There's no problem of tumah in Eretz Yisrael because it's not usher for the guy to be gorim tumah in Eretz Yisrael. And there's no problem of yayin esach because we're not afraid for Rav Huna. It doesn't become yayin esach until it actually goes into the bar. The chazru lomar dabad. But then they said, no, the halacha is actually dabad. Ain dorchin in ovei kochavim begat, that you're not allowed to be dorich with ovei kochavim in the gat mishum de Rav Huna, because of the halacha Rav Huna who says that it starts to become yayin, it becomes yayin esach once it starts rolling down the incline, once the mashka starts rolling down the incline to the bar, you don't have to wait until it gets to the bar. So that's like Rav Huna, that's the Mishnah Achrona. The ain botsrim im Yisrael sha'osa perosa betumah, and you're not allowed to be botzer, you're not allowed to harvest with a Jew who makes his peiros betumah, v'kolshkein de'ein darchin, and certainly you're not allowed to be, and certainly you're not allowed to be doreich, aval botzrim in avakachavim begat, but you're allowed to be botzer with, you're allowed to harvest with an akum in the gat, shemutter ligram tumah lechulin meretz Yisrael, because it's mutter to be gorim tumah techulin in Eretz Yisrael. And even though in the Mishnah Rishonah we said that it's usur to harvest with a guy, because you're facilitating this stuff later becoming tumah, that's not a problem. Well, hang on. If it's not a problem, then why in the second thing did we say aval boats? Why did we say ve'ein boatsrim im Yisrael sha'osei perosa betumah v'kol shkein shein darkin? If it's mutter to be gorem tumah in Eretz Yisrael to chulin, then why aren't you able to trample the stuff, and why aren't you able to harvest with a Jew who makes his peros betumah? So the reason is, Rashi explains, because if you have a guy, the produce of a guy is not subject to trumas and maisras, and therefore it's all chulin, and there's no problem of being gorim tumah to chulin in Eretz Yisrael. However, if you have a Jew, the produce of a Jew contains not only chulin, but also truma and meiser. So, and it's usur to contaminate truma, it's definitely usur to make truma usur, and that's why al tzchelik of truma that's in the produce, you are not able to help the Jew do this stuff, even though legabe chulin, it's perfectly fine to be gorim tumah to produce in Eretz Yisrael. So let's leave off over here, and the rabbi's back tomorrow, who will pick up, God willing, from the two dots. Cool.